Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, good morning. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Today is March 6, 2023. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
So today in the studio, we have Katie Hope from Delaware Doula.
Yes.
I said it right.
You did. You got it.
That might be the hardest thing I do today.
Awesome.
So good morning. So how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So we had Dr. Megan on.
You did.
And I think she's the one that gave me your name.
Yes.
And so you guys must work together.
Mostly we're friends. And yeah. We have our own podcast that we are starting that's coming out at the end of the month called We Deserve Better. We're excited.
Where can people find this podcast?
It's going to be everywhere you find podcasts, Spotify, Apple, everywhere.
Nice. Have you guys been able to put out any episodes yet?
Are hoping to put our first one out March 23rd.
Nice. Well, listen, if there's anything I can do or if you need any... I won't say advice, but like technical advice or things like that, let me know.
Awesome.
But that's great. I love it. I love podcasts.
Thanks. Megan and I actually met in a pool in Rehoboth. You know how people meet in Rehoboth, you know, being social. And she sort of said, oh, I work with like women's health. And I could tell she was sort of holding back.
Yeah.
And because I work in the birth world and with medical professionals, I've been a doula for 20 years. I had a hint at what she was doing and I said, do you mean pelvic health?
Yeah.
And she was like, yes. And I was like, I know all about it. I'm a doula. And we became friends pretty fast.
Well, I would like to explain what a doula is for those who might not know, but I know that, pelvic floor was something I hadn't heard of until I had her on the podcast and pelvic floor became a thing. And so I was like, okay, I'm learning about a lot of different stuff right now. So yeah.
Absolutely. And I'll just throw this in about pelvic health. I didn't know about pelvic floor physical therapy, even after being a doula for 10 years. No obstetrician, no midwife, no one had ever mentioned that to me. And it wasn't until I had my own sort of health journey that I discovered that. And I came to learn that in Europe, that is standard care practice. After somebody has a baby, they get a prescription for physical therapy. It's like post-surgery, you get a prescription to rehab the muscles. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, that would make sense. And as obviously a guy, I don't want to act like I have any idea what that's like. I do have some kids and I've been through the process, but I don't want to, you know, take away from that because like unfortunately my first wife had to have a C-section. I shouldn't say unfortunately. I say it only because I think that she was really, you know, I think I'm going to speak this as a guy thinking, but as a woman, I think that's a big deal, you know, to naturally give childbirth. If I'm wrong, please correct me, but I know it was for her.
I mean, I'm just going to say birth is a big deal.
Birth is a big deal.
Birth is a big deal. It's a really big physical change. It's a social change. It's an emotional change. It changes every aspect of your life. And I'm big on trying to improve language. We have really terrible language around birth. So I don't even like the word cesarean.
Okay.
It's like a weird, you know.
I think I said C.
Weird. Yeah. C-section.
C-section.
I'm always like, yeah, you section a grapefruit. You're
right.
Not sectioning a woman. You're having surgery.
Right.
And I like to call it a cesarean birth.
Yes.
Because I think we're really downplaying women's experience as if they don't give birth if they have a cesarean. And that's not true. They're
right.
Having a cesarean birth.
No, absolutely. And we definitely left with the baby. So definitely there was a birth.
Absolutely.
But I think in her mind... And I'm, you know, this was a while ago, but I just remember, actually, I don't even think we had a real conversation about it. I just felt like she was a little sad about it. And I, you know, it was fine, but it's tough, right? And it happens a lot more now than I think before. And I might be a little wrong with that, but it just seems like C-sections are very popular.
No, you're not wrong. And it's the cesarean rate is increasing. And in fact, the medical community has sort of, they all agree. We're doing too much.
Too many C-sections.
Too many cesareans. Like, it should be 10% or less, and most of the country is around 30%, and that varies state to state and hospital to hospital.
Do you have an idea why? I guess.
Why the cesarean rate is increasing?
Yeah.
I could say so much.
We
could talk forever and ever. It's a lot of it, honestly, is based on legal liability.
That's what I thought.
So they want to take every precaution they can. And I'm not anti-doctor.
Sure.
They are trying to protect the women and their babies. But there's a lot still unknown around birth. And it's like a lot they still can't see.
Yeah.
What's going on in there until after the baby is born. Yeah. So they're in an effort to protect the birth, to give you the best possible outcome to do a cesarean. In that moment, they're doing the best they can. But what we're not thinking about is the lifelong health implications for the mother and the baby.
Yeah.
That birth experience changes things physiologically for the baby.
It does.
Because they're not getting the process of being birthed. Like, they're not getting their lungs squeezed. They're not getting stimulated in that way. And also, your microbiome, which is something I could nerd out about with you.
I dig a good microbiome.
Microbiome. As when you're birthing, they get coated in the mother's bacteria.
Okay.
And that literally becomes the foundation of your gut health. That becomes your gut bacteria, which then affects your entire immune system for your life.
That's
so
big
it's a big deal.
Yeah,
it's
a big deal.
And also, babies that are born by cesarean, they don't know exactly why. There's a lot of working theories. They don't tend to breastfeed as effectively.
Yeah.
So that can add to between the mother recovering from physical surgery and a baby that's literally their suck is not as powerful for the first few days.
Okay.
It can increase difficulties and challenges in breastfeeding.
Yeah. And plus, like, you know, a lot of moms work now. I mean, you know, we hopefully get a little time off, right, having the baby, but we get back to work and then we're pumping and then it just becomes easier to sort of go over to formula, which, you know, is good, I'm assuming, but it's a challenge.
Yeah, we always like to say, like, fed is best, but, I mean, nobody's going to debate the fact that breast milk has higher quality than formula.
Yeah.
But pumping and feeding your baby pumped breast milk is a great option for some people, and you're not wrong. A lot of people are having to go back to work, and unfortunately, like, sooner and sooner. We're moving in the wrong direction.
Right.
I have clients who've, you know, gone back to work at 2 weeks postpartum. That is not enough time to recover from birth.
It is tough. But, you know, that's sort of where we are at today. So I don't want to, you know, we've been in the same boat. So right. I definitely understand.
Well, let me jump back to what a doula is. I didn't answer your question.
Sorry.
That's okay. But
that's what I do. I go on some off ramp and next thing you know, we never talk about what we're supposed to talk about.
I just like to say it out loud as much as possible because in so many places, doula is a very common thing.
Right.
And they're like, oh, of course, who's your doula? And then I meet people all the time. They're like, I've never heard that word before. And we've been around for a long time. And so a doula is private labor support. There are things as postpartum doulas that specialize in taking care of the mother and the family after birth.
Right.
But what I specifically do is people hire me during their pregnancy. And we work together throughout their pregnancy for me to really understand their wishes for birth. I don't have an agenda for birth. I'm not out to get you a natural birth, a medicated birth, you know, a water birth. I want to know what kind of birth you want. But sometimes people don't know what they want.
Right.
Because they don't know what their options are. So between my background as a doula for the last 20 years and being a Lamaze certified educator, I let people know the pros and cons of their different choices.
Right.
And then I work with them on a plan to achieve that birth.
Well, I can imagine that the moment you find out that a person is pregnant, right, and how we feel or how a person feels at that moment compared to different points through that 9 months. You know, I always, little joke, but I always say it takes 9 months to get to the idea of having a baby come out. Like if they said, oh, you're pregnant and you're having it tomorrow, you'd be like, yikes. But 9 months, you know, and I've experienced this a couple times. It's like, oh my gosh. And then at the end, it's like, get out of me. Right. It's like,
absolutely.
I've had it. And, but yeah. So do you see, I mean, is it great to be part of that from the very beginning or is there a certain time where you would find that you might be introduced into this kind of process? Or does it matter?
It doesn't matter. People hire me at different points in their pregnancy. I've been hired at like 6 weeks. As soon as they know they're pregnant, they'll contact me and hire me. And that's great because then we have a lot of time to get to know each other or for me to support them if things come up throughout their pregnancy.
Yeah.
But I've also been hired the night before somebody gave birth. They get to the situation, they're like, we could use support. And that's really the key thing that a doula does is support the woman and her partner, because families are different, right? So yeah. That could be a boyfriend, it could be a girlfriend, it can be just a family member supporting. I certainly have, you know, single moms by choice, and everybody deserves to feel safe and supported during birth. And that is what I do. Sometimes it's really hard to articulate. I love to use the analogy of being a Sherpa.
Okay.
Like if you want to climb a mountain, you have to do the climbing.
Right.
I cannot do it for you. But I know what supplies to take. I know, speak the local language. I know when it's safe to keep going or when we should maybe take a break or get some advice, get some directions. That's what I really do for people throughout the labor and birth process.
Well, and I also know, like, I remember when my first son was born, you know, we're like, is this it? You know, is this it? And then you get that moment. You're like, I think this is it. Let's pack it up. We're heading down. And you get down there and they're like, this isn't it. You can either stay or you can walk the steps. I think that's what traditionally people end up having to do, which is basically walking up and down all the steps over at the hospital, trying to, you know,
encourage labor.
But I also know there's a lot of time where you're just kind of alone, right? And you might have questions, you know, and maybe it'd probably be nice to have somebody that might know some of those answers that they can talk to, because doctors aren't just, you know, and this is silly, but they're not there for just you, right? There's a whole lot of stuff going on that night. And so sometimes it's hard to communicate a little bit. So maybe that would be nice. Just somebody that knows, okay, what are we doing? You know, what's this process? And you can help explain and get them through that.
Absolutely. And, you know, everybody arrives at their careers in different ways. And my way I came into doula work is by knowing nothing.
Right.
By being that first time mom that went in with my partner. And I at least had the gift of not being afraid of birth. Some people are really afraid of birth and you need to kind of work through that before going into labor. But I was of the mindset of like, I'm going to go in, get my epidural. My doctor will be there. I'll have this baby. Like people have babies all the time. What's the big deal? No big deal. So when I arrived at the hospital in labor on my own, I was fortunate enough that all was going quite smoothly. I was like, where's the doctor? And they're like, oh, no. The doctor comes in to catch the baby. That
right.
is really the, you might see them once or twice in labor, stop in to check in on you, but that's really their physical presence during your birth.
It's all millimeters.
Centimeters.
Centimeters.
That's
sorry.
Right.
Centimeters.
Just don't minimize, you know, right. the work we're doing.
Would that be minimized? I guess that's fine. Yeah. Sorry.
And then
it's all measurements.
It's
How's
all
that?
Measurements. And then the nurses who are really managing your health care through the birth, they're monitoring the baby, they're checking your blood pressure and temperature. They are also in and out.
Yeah.
And monitoring often multiple people. And when you're giving birth, small changes in your environment, keeping you physically calm, keeping you comfortable, can make big changes in your perception of the whole birth. They have done studies on doulas, and doulas are scientifically proven. The presence of a doula lowers the number of cesarean rate. It improves health outcomes for moms and babies, even though we don't do anything medical.
Right.
And the working theory is it's because it's consistent, calm, educated support.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you're doing something where there's this unknown, gets a little freaky. I mean, I think when we ended up having the cesarean, it was like, oh, we've gotten to a point. Doesn't seem like it's going to work. We're just going to go ahead and do this. And it almost felt like they were doing us a favor. You know, oh, we're just going to go ahead and do this. And you're like, oh, okay. I guess we're at that point. But afterwards, it was, you know, maybe a little bit of a letdown.
Sure.
I don't know.
No, it's okay. No, it's totally fine to, you know, a cesarean birth is the most common surgery in the United States.
Oh, is it?
It's the one we do more than any other surgery.
Wow.
So, you know, they have got it down to a system. But what we don't talk about is cesarean is the only surgery where you might do that surgery repeatedly on the same incision.
Yeah.
So if you want more than one baby, now you've added a whole new layer of risks for your next pregnancy. This really great doctor, Dr. Neil Shaw, I heard him once say, you know, the first cesarean's no problem. It's the second or third time I have to do a cesarean. You're cutting through scar tissue. He's like, it's like melted crayon. It's not the same kind of tissue. And each time you're like really increasing the risk for catastrophic complications for moms and babies.
Right.
So that's why the primary cesarean, if you need it to save somebody's life, 100%. I think these women that go in and have cesarean births are warriors. Yeah. They are walking themselves in sometimes and being like, you know, do it, save my baby. But we are not thinking enough about the long-term health of people involved. And so we need to make sure we're using it when it's needed, not when it's like, we don't know what else to try.
Right.
Oh, you look tired. I mean, that is a real reason that a lot of people end up having cesareans. They'll say, like, you look really tired. You've been at this a long time. Your health, you're doing fine. The baby looks fine. But, you know, we've been doing this long enough. And really, if somebody's tired, the answer is rest.
Right. Right.
Let's rest. Let's take a rest. Let's keep everybody hydrated and then reevaluate.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, so how many years have you been doing this? When did you begin and how did the journey start and how'd you get better and what did you learn? And is it just one day at a time or tell us about the journey, the doula journey?
Thank you. Thank you for asking because I love to talk about it.
Well, that's why you're here. I mean, that's, you know, it's always been about, you know, small business helping another business. But, you know, I always feel like there's somebody wanting to do something, right? And if they could just get some testimonial, some story that makes them go, yes, I'm on the right path, even if it's just opening a small business, right? So, yeah, that's why you're here. I mean, I don't know anything about giving birth, so I'm going to let you talk. That way I stay out of trouble.
Sure. well, like I said, when I was pregnant with my first child and I went in and I took a Lamaze childbirth class, but I wasn't really paying close attention. It was a group class. I'm like, I just need to know the basics about birth because I know I'm going to get an epidural. I'm not interested in natural childbirth. And I had this birth experience where there's a very popular phrase around birth, which is like healthy mom, healthy baby. That's all that matters.
Right.
And I had a birth experience where those two factors were true. And I felt really traumatized by the experience.
Oh my.
I felt really alone in my birth. I felt like I needed more help and support. And I was confused. And just there was nobody doing that for me.
Right.
And so
Sure. When you did the Lamaze, do you feel like if you had paid more attention, do you think that was a problem or was it what it was?
I think I should have taken the process of giving birth, the experience of giving birth more seriously.
Okay.
I think I should have realized, which is what I believe now, that we need to prepare our bodies physically and mentally. Birth is like running a marathon.
Mm.
I know you're a runner. I've heard you talk about running before. Birth is like running a marathon. And so it's pretty like arrogant of myself to show up to run a marathon having never trained one day.
Right.
And like not prepared my body and not prepared my mind because your mind is a huge factor in running a marathon, right?
Yeah.
Like get in the zone to just think I could just wing it.
Yeah.
And so that's what has eventually led me into childbirth education. Like I do private childbirth classes in person in Delaware and virtually across the country for people.
Wow.
And that has become a true passion of mine, partly on the information I'm giving you, but also to draw out of people, what do you want for your birth?
Right.
Like, what do you want? And it's not the same for everyone. And that's the mistake. I think hospitals have gotten into this path that like everyone who comes in wants to have no pain, no sensation, and then have a baby. And it doesn't matter if it's vaginal or cesarean. They just want their baby. I want those things and more.
Right.
Like we can ask for more. So back to my doula story. When I became pregnant with my second child, I was like, oh, I need a way out. Uh-oh. Like, I want to have this baby, but I don't want to go through that process before that I had before. I don't want that same experience. And so I just started researching and I discovered doulas. And I saw this video clip of this giant German woman. She was like 6'4". And she was like lifting the pregnant woman out of the bed and like wiping the sweat off her brow. And I was like, that is what I needed. I needed somebody to like lift me out of the bed and be like, you can do this. Like, it's okay.
Someone other than the husband, right? And someone else other than the...
Yeah, you know, I had a partner that was like emotionally supportive, but not skilled, right? Like he hadn't given birth before. He never witnessed a birth before. He was at the same class with me. And they give you a whole list of things to try. And he was like, lollipop. And I was like, nope.
Ice chip.
He was like, focal point. I was like, nope. And then he blanked. He just like went out there. He just didn't know what else to do. So, and as a doula now, with my experience, one of the things I do is like, I help couples. So like in that moment, if I had been a doula for myself in that room, I would have like picked myself, be like, let's get out of the bed. Lean on your partner, wrap your arms around. Mm. I'm gonna dim the lights. I'm gonna put your music on for you. I'm gonna get you some water and let's just sway through this one contraction. Let's just get through this one contraction. That's a whole different environment, right?
Yeah. It's awesome. I love it.
So from the birth of my daughter, I used a midwife in a hospital, which I didn't know was an option. I thought in the hospital you had to have only an OB. And so a midwife typically has a more natural approach, a more hands-on approach. And I hired a doula. And in that birth experience, I actually did have a serious complication during that birth.
Okay.
And ultimately, everything was fine. It came out okay. But when it was done, and I was sort of reflecting on the birth experience, I still felt better about that birth.
Yeah.
Than I did my previous labor, because the whole time my doula was telling me what was going on. She was taking care of myself and my partner, and I felt safe. I felt like everybody who was in that room was rooting for me and protecting me, and I wasn't afraid. And when you're not afraid, your body relaxes, and guess what happens? Your body can open up and give a more gentle birth experience.
All right.
If you are afraid, your body is tense, you're pumping cortisol through your system.
Mm.
That does not lend itself to birth. You need to find a calm, relaxed place to just let it happen.
Well, one of the things that happened with my second son is he actually was born with a club foot. And I remember when we went to the doctor's visit and saw the sonogram, and we were both like, what's up with his leg, right? And he's like, okay, well, the doctor will be in. And turns out he had a club foot. And it was fine. But, you know, that's a little challenging. I mean, it definitely was, I know his mother and I were like, whoa, we didn't know what to do, right? We were uneducated in this, and we were all sort of by ourselves. And after the birth, we were sort of by ourselves, kind of like, his leg's a little, you know, crooked. Mm-hmm. So it would have been nice to have a little support. I mean, it's fine. We ended up going to AI DuPont, and that hospital is amazing, and he is perfectly fine now, you know, with some a cast and some braces and stuff, and got them all squared away. You would never know today, but, you know, there's a life after the birth, too. When you're kind of by yourself and you're trying to figure it out, and, you know, whether you're brand new parents, right, or this is the second child or something, but even though it was our second child, but it was a little, you know, it was a little weird. So it might have been nice to have somebody that had a little bit of education in that. I'm not sure if there was a solution for that. I just know that there's life prior and there's a little life after, and both times can be a little, you can feel a little lost.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm so glad your son is doing well. You know, when people come up against these challenges, as a doula, what I do is I help find resources.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, you just don't know where to look.
Exactly.
And so connecting people is a real passion of mine. And there are more and more resources popping up all the time in this area. So that's something I help my clients do. And the other thing you touched upon is really postpartum. That's what you call the period after you have a baby. And most people think postpartum is really just those first 6 weeks. In America, we've gotten really hung up on this like 6 week number.
Yeah, because that's when you have to go back to work.
Well, it's also when people expect the woman to be like ready to have sex again, to be intimate. Mm. Like so many people like hang their hat on that 6 week appointment. And it's crazy. because really postpartum is the first whole year. Well, some women are down and I'm like, do it, you know, ever you want, but they just, that's not what really is the, should be the focal point at that period of your postpartum recovery. It should be, how are you doing physically? The woman, how is your body recovering? Like, are you still sore? Are you, how's breastfeeding going? Do you want to continue breastfeeding? What's your plan for returning to work? You know, it's can be a real shock to the system to like be home 24/7 for 6 weeks and then be like, okay, now you can do it all.
Yeah.
And really the postpartum period is the full first year after somebody has a baby. So I've become really passionate. I do, people can call me and schedule just a virtual consultation, like just a 1 hour call. And we can talk about one thing.
Right.
Like you don't have to hire me for all doula services or do a whole childbirth class series. We can just do a call. And so one of the things I try and encourage people to do is do a postpartum planning call. And that is to come up with a plan on your postpartum recovery and like, who are your support people? If you had an issue with breastfeeding, who would you call? If you had postpartum anxiety and depression, do you have health insurance? Is it something that's covered? Is it in network or out of network matter? Like who the numbers that you would call. And then simple things like for meals, like what is our plan for meals and like the household chores? Like is your partner going to do all of the household chores during that postpartum period? Do you have family or friends that are going to come in? Do you have need to save some money and hire some support for that period of time? So that you have a plan, because once you have that baby and you're home, that's not the time to be like, oh, who should I call? Like you're already overwhelmed by being present with this new being in your home.
Yeah. Well, and I think you brought up, there's a lot of great conversations to be had prior to, right? You know, because, and the other thing about, I've heard just through people and, you know, a lot of people that they come out of having a baby and it's supposed to be one of the greatest, happiest times of our lives, right? And sometimes a woman may not feel that way inside and not want to say that out loud, because what do you mean you're not happy, right? This is our new baby. What do you mean? And it isn't about, I don't think, the baby. It's the chemical balance in our head that's going on. And so I know a lot of people struggle with that. And so maybe you can talk a little bit about that as well.
Sure. I mean, unless you are just, you know, hands over your eyes and not watching, like, you know, the rates of anxiety and depression in our culture are climbing.
Right.
And there's things that you can do with pharmaceutical support and also just sort of lifestyle support to try and work through that. Talk therapy is great. But there is actually a screening process for that while you're pregnant on just sort of what is increasing your chances. Like if you've already had anxiety or depression in your life, you're at a higher risk for having postpartum anxiety or depression. If you have, you know, other factors in terms of family history of it, can also increase it. And so what can happen is the sleep, lack of sleep deprivation, yep, or the hormone change can tip it over. And so that's why it's good to know ahead of time things that you use now, if or have worked for you in the past, that you could use if you needed it in the future.
One of the things that happens, especially when it's your first child, is it's a life changer.
Sure.
I mean, we just don't realize the change of our life that is about to happen. And I think that I was prepared for it. I was ready, but, you know, I wasn't. I mean, we were fine, but, you know, at some point you're almost saying goodbye to the life, even for myself as the dad. You know, I'm still saying maybe goodbye to the life that I thought I used to have, right? And I'm I'm being welcomed to the new life. And that transition can be a little stressful, right? Because I don't want to say it's depressing, but you can definitely go, wow,
well,
no more nights down in Dewey, right? Or no more this. we got a new project, and it's called Raising a Child.
Exactly. And I think you were right on before where you said there's conversations that need to happen before the baby arrives. And it is normal. We need to normalize like being thrilled to be a parent and thrilled to have this baby. For a lot of people, that's like a lifelong dream. Like sometimes you got to really work for it.
Yeah.
And then when they have the baby and they have these feelings of sadness or depression or like mourning their old life of when they could just like pick up and go out.
Right.
that it's normal to have both feelings. It's both and. Like, it's not one or the other, and it's okay. And the key is really community and support. And the more our culture kind of shifts to, like, people moving around and not having that family or having tough family dynamics, you got to build your community. Yeah. You got to find your people. And so whether that's making new friends or joining community groups that for people, new moms and things like that, or like getting more paid help. Mm. So if you know you're going to need to pay for some support just so you can like nap and function, that's like postpartum doulas or night nurses. Like, they're out there, but a lot of people, that's financially out of reach. So you got to make a schedule with your partner or pull in what family and friends you do have and ask for help. Like, be really specific.
Yeah. Well, and there's also, you know, you could like to use the word surrender a little bit. I mean, there is a, you know, you sort of have to surrender the fact that you are doing something different now, and you don't want to become a victim of having a baby. Right. And that's, I think, happens a lot, especially with younger people, is that they're like, shit, no, I have to take care of the baby. Right. I have to go home because of the baby. And then you don't want to end up being like a victim of your own child, right? I always say it's this mental transition, whether it's childhood, just growing up, you know, business. But instead of having to, we get to, right? And that was a big, you know, a shift that I had to make, as I get to be as a father, right? I get to be here for my kids instead of having to. And I had kids late. You know, I'm 54. We still have a fifth grader, right? I'm going to be that old guy, you know. But I know if I'd have done this a lot younger, I would have been a victim to having kids, because I would have had trouble letting go of that old fun out, you know, on the weekends and doing different stuff and sleeping in. Because as soon as the child comes, those days are over. And the quicker you can surrender to that and become willing to realize that you get to have a child instead of having to, I think that also helps.
For sure, get to. But I think it's a little bit about knowing yourself and knowing your partner and having conversations about your values.
Sure.
Right? So, I mean, I don't know. This is our first time meeting.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Nice
but
to
like,
meet
let's
you.
Say you were a creative person, like an artist. Like, okay, yeah, parenting and supporting financially, like that's your primary job now. But like, how can I make sure that you get a little bit of time to like do your art, like practice your art? And like, sure. I'm the mom, and you know, I used to be a runner. Like that was like the time that was meditative and important to me. Like, okay, well, how can I support you to you get that time? You know, everybody's needs matter.
Absolutely.
And so it's about having those critical conversations about your values and priorities. And they like, okay, for a lot of people in the beginning, everybody needs sleep.
Yeah.
So sleep the seems conversation, to be the big problem. Sure. So the conversation is, how can we make sure that you're getting the amount of sleep that you need to function well and I need to function well? In my early days of being a doula, I used to hear women say all the time, like, well, oh, my partner can't ever get up with the baby at night because he has to go to work and he's got to be able to like be sharp and be on top of it. And I've always confused the hell out of me. I was like, you have to keep a person alive like all day.
Right.
And sometimes that's hard, especially when they're toddlers, like they're going for it. So everybody's needs matter. And so it's just about working together so that you can thrive as a family.
Well, sometimes you have to lower your expectations of sleep, right? I mean, that is, I think we put a lot, I don't know. I feel like sleep is some sort of an escape at some point too. It's like, I need to get sleep. Like I need to disappear for a while. And like for me, you know, and you know, we change our lifestyle. So like last night I made my kids' lunches, right? I got up this morning at 5:30, finished their lunches, went for a run, got back by 7:30, got their bagels ready, and out the door they went. You can change your lifestyle for that. Sometimes I had to change my lifestyle. Like if I want to run in the morning, I'm going to have to get up a little earlier.
Sure.
So it's not like, and the other thing is, the other problem is the baby. You know, someone forgot to tell the baby we need sleep, because that just, you know, We follow a family on YouTube called Project Atticus, and it's this couple. And we started watching them, I think, during the pandemic. And, you know, a young couple, you know, they're out cruising in their sailboat down in the Caribbean. It's a whole thing. We love them. They're great. Now they got pregnant, right? And now they're down in the Maltese or whatever, and they finally have had the baby. And they're like, yeah, we'll have the baby and we'll just start sailing, and just three of us on the, well, they have a dog too. And they started putting out a couple clips now after the baby, and they're like, we need sleep. Right? Sleep. It's always about the sleep.
Well, there's a certain amount of recovery time for the person who carried a baby for 9 months and gave birth.
Not taken away
and
from that.
And then
I'm speaking a little farther out. Sure, sure, sure. Yes, I agree.
But people do have different needs, right? Like, we don't all need the same amount of sleep. And like, for me, I'm a morning person. Like, I pop out of bed 5:30, 6 o'clock on my own. I'm like, let's go.
Let's go.
But at 8 o'clock, that is not the best time for me. And so, again, it's about having these conversations with your partner. Like, are we both the same? Do you need a lot of sleep? Do I need a little bit of sleep? Are you a morning person? And just sort of like adjusting, like pivoting your life a little bit to support what people need.
Well, and honestly, I think we're promoting really, I mean, great conversation, regardless if it's a baby or cars or careers. I mean, conversation is the key. Right. Unless you can't if you can't have a conversation about stuff, it's going to be a struggle, I think.
Absolutely. And I feel like I'm about to take a really big leap, really big risk here. But I think.
Let's get canceled.
I'm going to do it right
That's
here.
All right.
The experience you have in the labor room, I think, can have long term effects on people's marriages. Mm. And so right now I'm talking about like heteronormative couples, like a husband and wife, like partners. If you don't feel protected and supported or listened to or respected in birth, you can really carry those feelings of resentment and anger around for a really long time.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I really take pride in my work of being a doula is trying to help both people communicate their needs and have those conversations. So like when I meet with people prenatally, I might ask the father, what are you most afraid of about having a baby? Like, how are you concerned that it might affect your life? And you might say out loud at that time, like, I'm really worried that I'm not going to be able to go out when I used to. Like, that was a big piece of my identity. And now I'm afraid of losing it. And then I ask the same thing to the woman, and whatever her answer is, it might be the first time they say it out loud because they feel a little safer to just say it to me in the presence of their partner instead of directly at their partner.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Listen, I say it out loud. My buddy Matt used to say, regardless what it is, say it out loud. It cuts it in half, cuts the worry in half. We will hold these things inside and make them and shape them into whatever it is we want until we say it out loud and get a little sunshine on it. And then we're like, oh, well, maybe it's not as bad, or maybe this is something we can figure out.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of conversations that need to be happening publicly and as a community that we're not talking about.
Well, and you never know what it took to get there too, because I mean, you know, you have young couples that, you know, not even married and, you know, have sex once and bam, they're having a baby. Or you can have a couple that is married, you know, took a year, you know, to really establish a great relationship and then started working on having a child. And it didn't happen as fast as they thought. I know when with my first son, you know, we had a couple miscarriages. It wasn't the greatest, you know, people say, oh, you get to have a lot of sex and stuff. Yeah, but it's not.
That's so insensitive to say to people that are struggling.
Right.
Really is terrible. I'm sorry anyone ever said that to you.
Well, I mean, not that they said it to me, but it always is kind of this sense is like, oh, you get to have a lot of sex. And it's tough. And it's not sex. It is trying to make a baby. And it can really be a lot of strain on a relationship. So, you know, you sometimes take that into the birth and then coming out. And it can be, you know, a lot of this conversation should probably happen.
Yeah. Our culture, and I'm continuously learning about myself through my doula work. So when I was a very young doula and a new doula, one of the first births I actually ended up attending was somebody who'd lost a baby they called a late term loss at like 26 weeks. Mm. So like she was birthing a baby that she knew was not alive. And it was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And also, as a doula, like I felt like it was like some of like the most holy work I could do
right.
to support this couple through this process and sort of protect them. And then as I was driving home, it was like, you're walking out of the hospital and they're like playing the song of the new baby being born. And I'm like, oh my God, she's laying there listening to this music of like, right. Now's your baby. And then I'm driving down the road and there's a billboard of like, you know, bye bye baby, like strollers. And then I'm like driving myself. I was like, oh my gosh, like people who are struggling to have a baby, like they are bombarded by baby, like have a baby, like everywhere. And I used to say that to people as soon as they'd get married. I'd be like, oh, when are you guys going to start a family? When right. are you going to have a baby? I just like, we need to, I love babies. Right. I love my children. Like I wouldn't do this work if I didn't love just like being around them. They're incredible, magical beings, but we need to like pump the brakes a little bit. And like, that's your sole purpose in life is right. to have a baby. It's not like it's you're not. A whole person just as you are.
Well, we're designed for it. I'm not saying it's the whole purpose, but I, you know, and I'm sort of like you because I, you know, the life that I ended up having after having kids is beyond my wildest dreams, right? It is just because, you know, you get humbled, right? And you either, you make that choice. I decided to be a dad. And I love it. You know, I love being a parent. But that's, and since I love it, I think everybody's going to love it. Like, and I'm sort of like, you guys need to have a third, right? You need to have... There's nothing like watching two kids be friends, right? I do love that my kids like are buddies, but that's not for everybody, right? I have a friend of mine who they have one child, and I just cut their hair or their daughter's hair. I'm like, you guys need to have another. Like, shut up, Tom. Like, I don't need to say that, right?
You don't. You don't need to say it because you don't, and we also don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know what's going on behind closed doors. We don't know if they're struggling. We don't know if they're fighting. Maybe they're fighting about it. Maybe they're both exhausted, and they're like, I'm never having another baby with you. I'm tired already.
Right.
We don't know. We don't. But yeah, it is hard. I have three children. They're 23, 21, and 18. And I have just loved watching them grow. They're just three of the most incredible people I know. But it's not for everybody. And I really respect people that are not afraid to say in our culture where we're constantly like, have a baby. Like, you know what? That's not for me.
Right.
I really respect that.
Well, and you know, we have a 10, 11, and 17. And we've thought about it. You know, crazy moments. We'll have that. Maybe we should have another one. But then... Not only does it change our whole life, but it also tends to take away from other kids. And you know, at 10 and 11, they really need us, right? They don't need a baby disrupting their life. A lot of things go into it.
My kids used to beg me to have another baby, and I would literally say to them in my sleep-deprived state, I was like, don't you feel deprived enough?
Right.
Like, do you really want less than you're already getting?
Exactly.
I mean, it's a lot. And also economically, I mean, the financial impact that having kids has on your life is significant.
Well, listen, they're cheaper than dogs. We can't get a dog. Like we could have another
your
child.
Your dog doesn't get married or go to college. You haven't gotten there yet, my friend.
Well, we don't. My kids are paying for their own college. We're not paying for their college. But the point is that, you know, you get a dog and all of a sudden there's an issue and next thing you're dropping $1,000 to get a dog. So the point is that, you know, we can deal with kids. I can't afford a dog. It's crazy.
Okay. Then you should not get a dog.
Thank you. I appreciate you're here for telling me that.
People don't have to have babies. They don't have to have dogs. It's okay. But I like both.
So share some more of your story.
So, So after I had that birth where I had a doula and I felt so great about it, I just became a huge proponent of it and started talking to everybody about it. It's like when you discover a new gadget and you just want everyone to have one. Like, and a friend of mine said to me, she's like, you know, I can't afford a doula. Would you come with me? And at that time I was, I have a background in massage therapy. I was a nationally certified massage therapist for 15 years.
Cool.
And so massage is one of the tools that I use for people in labor. And I said, you know, I don't have any training yet on being a doula, but I'd be happy to come with you to your birth. And I always say when people see a baby being born, they have one of two reactions. They think it's the most incredible thing they've ever seen.
Yeah.
That was my reaction. I was like, oh my gosh, there was two people in the room and then there was three. It was amazing. Or you look at it and you're like, that's gross. I might not ever need to look at it again. And yeah. It's fine. You can feel either way. But after attending her birth, I was just like, that was amazing. And this is what I want to do. And I went immediately and I got trained by this incredible trainer in New Jersey. Her name is Deborah Pasquale Bonera. And she's like one of the original DONA members. So that's a DONA is Doulas International. It used to stand for Doulas of North America, which is why it's D-O-N-A. But they are one of the most recognized certifying bodies of doulas. They have a website. If you ever want somebody who that you know is trained and signs a code of ethics, you know, doulas should be only giving physical and emotional support to the couple and informational support. They shouldn't be telling you what to do medically. Like, we don't do medical exams. We don't do cervical checks, anything like that. So I got trained as a doula, and then I just love to learn. I just kept learning more and more about births. I remember this was a long time ago. So I went to Barnes & Noble, the computer, and like typed in like, how many books on birth are there? But then there was 10,000 books on birth.
Wow.
And I was like, you could start reading now and study your whole life and not learn everything there is to know about birth. So I just started to learn as much as I could.
Yeah.
And that led me to becoming a Lamaze certified childbirth educator, which is really where my passion is right now, is educating people about the birth process and planning for their births. And Lamaze has this reputation, people think of it as that set 1970s breathing technique. Yeah. And that's not really what it is at all. It's based in evidence-based medicine. So like, what does all the science and the research tell us about birth and the way to impact your healthy outcomes for moms and babies? And they have like six pillars that they really stand on that produce the best outcomes for birth. And so a lot of people use it for natural childbirth or unmedicated birth, as I call it. But really, it's about having a vaginal birth,
okay,
you know, is the focus. And so it contains things like letting labor start on its own is a key component. And what do we do a lot of times in this country? We
rush it.
We induce people.
Oh, induce. Okay.
We induce people early when they're, you know, 38, 39 weeks pregnant. One of the other pillars is to no routine interventions. And that doesn't mean you can't have any interventions at birth. It means when you show up at the hospital now, the first thing they do is give you an IV and give you IV fluids.
Mm.
Why?
Right.
There's nothing happening yet. There's nothing happening yet. There's no medical reason that you need it. There are reasons that you might want it. But to just give them to every person that walks in the door is not improving birth outcomes.
Is that to prevent dehydration?
It's to prevent dehydration, but more so it's to keep a direct line open. So in case they wanted to give you medications, it's already set up.
Okay.
Because you don't want to wait until you're having some extreme situation to try and find a vein. Because sometimes it takes a long time.
Right.
Well,
I didn't know if also, like, you get ice chips, right? I mean, at some point, they don't want you drinking a lot because you don't want you potentially to throw up, I would imagine. So it might, if it was long, maybe get dehydrated, but I think you're probably correct.
Well, you know, that's what the science is correct. I'm not correct. The science is correct, you know, and actually women should be, the science says women should eat and drink to their comfort throughout labor.
Oh, okay.
That we shouldn't be restricting them from food.
Oh.
But the hospitals will not get on board with the research because in case of the extreme situation that you needed surgery and that you needed to be fully intubated, in case you vomited from the anesthesia and then you aspirated on it.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, that's, we're worsening the birth process for a lot of people for an extreme outcome.
From fear.
And I'm like, you know, if you went out to dinner and you were in a car accident and you need surgery, they'd do it.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, they wouldn't be like, oh, we got to wait till 24 hours till her stomach is empty, you know?
Yeah. Well, I would imagine through the evolution of having child, I mean, you know, at one point probably just had a doctor, right? You just go to see the doctor and then maybe you can share. So a midwife is...
Mostly we had midwives. It wasn't until like in the mid 1900s that we really started moving birth to the hospitals. Most people had home births.
Okay.
And there are two different kinds of midwives. There's lay midwives, you know, they still pass like a certifying exam, but they're not nurses. The other ones are, midwives are certified nurses as well. They're nurse midwives.
So when I remember when we had, David, we had a midwife and she sort of kind of came in and out throughout the process, checking, you know, dilation and different things. Clearly more medical, right? She was definitely...
Right.
I don't know what the status is. Not a doctor, but somewhere in the middle. And then a doula comes in and is more just the support, like just the chat, right? Just to be there to kind of guide you, like you said, like a Sherpa, right?
Sure. One of the most, the biggest differences that I tell people is like your doula doesn't leave.
Right.
Right? A midwife and doctors are operating, and nurses are all operating on shifts. Right. Typically 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. or a 24-hour shift. And also, as a doula, even if your plan is to go to the hospital to have your baby, I can come to your house in early labor, and we can labor there until you really feel ready, or I can kind of guide you in terms of what active labor looks like.
Yeah.
Because I've been to so many births. Like, I can tell you from your physical presence, from the way you move, from the way you talk, like, I can tell in terms of the timing of the contractions, like, oh, we're getting closer. So I labor with people often at home, and then either they say, okay, we want to go to the hospital, or sometimes it'll be me. I'll be like, you know what? I feel like these are really picking up, and I know that, you know, we're 20 minutes from the hospital. I think we should pack up and head to the hospital.
Yeah.
And so if we can get to the hospital in a good active labor pattern, there's no like, go walk the stairs that you experienced,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so the birth process is really active and engaged. And so people have, you know, an experience of a shorter labor, even though they've labored. It's just, we do more of it at home.
That's really cool. So like, how do people get a hold of you? Like if someone's interested, you know, just found out they're pregnant, been pregnant for a while. I mean, how, if someone wanted to reach out to you, what would be the best way?
Sure. I have a website, DelawareDoula.net. I'm on Instagram. I'm on all the social media, Facebook. You can find me there. And if you need doula services, there's like a button like schedule today. And if you click on that button, it'll take you right to my page with all of my pricing. And you can schedule a consultation, childbirth education, doula services, all right there.
So when you got started in this, what were you hoping like the end game would be, like having multiple people, multiple doulas, just you by yourself taking this on?
I always just liked working for myself. Like I have an entrepreneur's heart for sure. And I don't know, I just felt called to it. I really felt called to it. I used to work in a partnership when I first started out, when I lived in northern New Jersey, and then moved down here about 10 years ago. And I just kept going independently. And I really have tried to connect birth people all over the state. Mm. I have sort of an independent website too called Delaware Birth Directory, where I try and list all kinds of different services that somebody might need.
Nice.
Includes like doctors and hospitals and midwives and lactation consultants and sleep coaches and all kinds of things. But my goal now is to really move childbirth education virtually.
Nice.
There are places in this country where people can't connect with people, you know, they don't live near somebody that teaches it. And it doesn't work for people's lives. Most people having their first baby are the most common to like take childbirth education.
Yeah.
They need nights when they're not working, or they need weekends, and it's hard to get. And there's a lot of virtual content where you're watching video modules, and that can be great for people, but that's not how I work.
Right.
People connect with me and I schedule like a Zoom meeting, and like we do a classroom, but I still have visuals and handouts and, you know, walk you through all the different processes of labor and, you know, pros and cons of all kinds of interventions, and really get to know what you're looking for in a birth and help build a class around you. So it's very individualized, one-on-one care.
What about diet? Like, did people talk about diet? Is diet important? I mean, obviously you want to eat healthy, right? You want no drinking, eat the best you can, but you know, can you do things in your diet when it's getting close to childbirth? I mean, I don't know. Is there cramping? I don't know. What is there something in diet that you can do helps?
Nutrition is important. You know, it's to me, I guess I think about nutrition all the time. So it's just like whole foods, clean foods, organic when you can, you know, high protein, lots of fiber to keep things going. And people have all kinds of different diets, you know, that they eat. A very common complication during pregnancy is gestational diabetes.
Yeah.
So sometimes that takes some rethinking, and that isn't necessarily caused by what you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's just the way your body processes sugar while you're pregnant. That's why we test everyone for gestational diabetes while they're pregnant. So there's some education they can do around that and resources we can guide them to that's just more like eating as if you were diabetic, you know, small meals that have protein and carbs. Like you never just eat carbs by themselves.
Right.
And that typically goes away after they give birth. But the better you eat during pregnancy can lead for like healthy babies and also just for yourself. Like you'll feel better. Well,
and you can tell me if this is correct. This is what I was told. But the baby's going to take what the baby's going to take. You know, the baby's going to be healthy. Or maybe you can explain that.
Do you see me making a face? Is that why you're looking at me like that? It's because I've
heard
both.
You've made a few faces so far.
I have no poker face. I can't play poker ever because my face makes all the expressions. No, I made that face because part of the reason people come to me while they're pregnant is because even from their care providers, their friends, the internet, the information is conflicting.
Right.
It's all over the place. Like where contra indicates itself. Like it's both. Because I absolutely was told during my first pregnancy, like that I had to reel it back because I was gaining weight too fast. And what I was doing was eating fruit. I was healthy whole foods, you know what I mean? But they're like, oh no, the sugar, like you're causing this baby to grow at this big rate. Actually, you had a big baby. He's just a big person. He still is. You know what I mean? Like that's just how he's built. And then with my second pregnancy, like they were like, oh, they're tiny. Like they're not growing. Like you need to like eat more. And then with my third pregnancy, I was like so ill. I was like throwing up and I was like, shouldn't I be worried that the baby's not getting what they need? Because they've been telling me that what I was eating was like causing them to be big or small. Okay. And they're like, oh no, the baby gets what they need. The baby decides how much it takes. Like you can't control that at all. And I was like, well, that's the opposite of what they just told me for my last two pregnancies. Now you're like, don't worry, the baby's fine. So we don't know.
So is I right?
That's the answer is we don't know.
Oh, okay.
The answer is we don't know.
Well, that makes sense.
And so the mom and the baby, when you're pregnant and even postpartum, you're sort of one unit.
Right.
So taking care of the mom's health is taking care of the baby's health. So 100% eating well matters all the time. So eat as well as you can. Some people struggle with, they'll call it morning sickness, or in extreme circumstances, it's called hyperemesis, where you just can't keep anything down. You know, you just got to like do your best to eat well. But I think, like I said, we started this podcast, you know, preparing your body physically and mentally for birth only makes for better birth experiences.
Very nice. I remember a long time ago, I used to do spinning, and the instructor was pregnant with this basketball, but she was still teaching spinning.
Sure.
And she was a badass. I mean, on that bike, I'm like, oh my God, this girl is whooping my ass and she's pregnant, and it was great. But I think people think, oh, I'm pregnant, I can't, you know, do anything, right? I can't exercise or I can't, you know, be active. And I think, you know, clearly there are folks out there that can. But I do think that it is a process. You just don't want to decide, I'm pregnant, I better start spinning, right? There's a process.
Yeah, usually what I encourage people to do is what you've been doing, keep doing.
Okay.
And then if there are small improvements you can make. So let's say you haven't been eating well. Okay, well, let's try and make sure like every day you now have like a little bit of a better breakfast, right? Mm. So like protein and some greens in it, like throw some spinach in your scrambled eggs.
Okay.
Like go that way. And it's like, if you haven't been
doing feta.
No feta. Okay.
Well, I'm just saying, that's kind of a weird cheese, right?
I mean, yeah, but feta's probably all right.
Okay. I thought I remember they said don't eat blue cheese or something like that.
You know what? It's just interesting. If we have a lot of foods that we tell people to not to eat, and what we're really trying to do is get people to not get food poisoning.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good point too. Yeah.
But like, we're all trying to avoid food poisoning.
Yes.
But that's why those foods are limited most of the time.
Okay.
So,
have some feta then. I'm sorry.
A little bit. Like a little bit.
Just not too much.
But in terms of exercise and movement, like 100%, if you've been doing exercise, keep doing your exercise. Unless you come across a medical complication. Unless while you're doing it, you start to get dizzy or you start to experience symptoms. That listen to your body, like back it down. If you haven't been doing any exercise and you want to start preparing your body for birth, I'm a big, just walking.
Yeah.
You know, just like keep moving. Swimming is fantastic for pregnant people because the water like lifts the weight of the baby like up off of your joints. Like it can be really good gentle movement to start going into. And yoga is fantastic because you're working the mind and the body always, and breath work. Like breath work is incredible.
And stretching is really, as we get older, stretching is key.
Yeah, when you're pregnant, though, you have all this hormone in your body called relaxin, and so your joints actually really start to stretch a little bit on their own.
Getting prepared.
Naturally, and you can actually, like, overstretch.
Oh.
So you want to do gentle stretching, gentle.
So what is the role of the doula once baby has arrived? Are you still around? How's that work?
I'm still around, but mostly we're done. Like mostly our contract, you know, our agreement is done. I usually stay an hour or two postpartum to help people to make sure if they want to breastfeed that they're settled in or that they have food and drink and that they're taken care of. Because that's another thing people experience. Like they go through this whole labor and have this birth and then suddenly like everyone like disappears.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, now I have this baby. Now what? And then what I usually do with my clients is I try and follow up, you know, via text and email, like, do you need anything? Do you need any resources? Again, I'm like still available to like help connect with resources. I give people the option of having a postpartum visit for me where we can really talk about the birth and unpack the birth. Sometimes that really helps people to be like, this part, was this weird? Like that this happened? Or can you explain to me why they suggested this during my birth and talk to them about it? If you needed more one-on-one care, what you would want is a postpartum doula.
Okay.
And that's a separate service that I do offer in limited availability.
Sure.
Where you come to the house and again, you help with like education, but also general baby care and also some like light housekeeping type things to make sure everyone in the family is fed and, you know, keep the laundry going and just tidy up while also giving people an opportunity to rest.
Well, I know one of the unfortunate challenges of childbirth is you get a little heavier, right? You put on a little weight. And I know a lot of people worry about that. And it falls off pretty quick. Does that turn to be a concern? Is that, you know, maybe someone like too embarrassed to say, I'm worried about having weight after I have a baby? And
you think anyone in our country is afraid to say they are on a diet? Everyone talks about their diet and weight all the time.
Yeah, but you might have a woman that's going to have that's just starting the process and it's never been through it, that has never had a weight problem.
Well, it's not really a problem. It's just a different state of being. And people they care about their looks often. Yeah. And, you know, it's a marketing tool they use to get people to breastfeed, because if you breastfeed, it tends to come off quicker. But your body has changed.
Yeah.
Your structure has changed, as our bodies are meant to do,
yeah,
right? We change throughout our lifetime in every way. But it's a concern for people, but it's also, you just deal with it as a normal person would deal with it if it's a concern for you.
Yeah. And concern's a better word. I didn't mean to say a problem because mm-hmm. I don't want it to be. I think just the topic of weight and losing it and how it is before and after, I would think that might be a topic of discussion. And I didn't know if that's something that you discuss. It isn't a problem for me. I understand.
Sure.
But I'm just saying, I remember, you know, watching my first wife get, you know, who was very skinny, but put on weight. And I don't know if she never said, oh my gosh, but I would imagine that it would be a thought.
People think about it, but it's sort of, again, prioritizing like your values. It's just,
it shouldn't be an issue. I'm just saying it might be in somebody's head. Right?
Sure. I mean, I think it is in people's head because it's something in our culture that we talk about all the time.
Yeah.
But I think particularly postpartum, most people are focused on like, is my baby healthy? Are they growing? Are people sleeping? How am I going to organize my life? But then yes, like, there's lots of, again, postpartum terms of after 6 weeks is usually when they say people can start exercising again.
Right.
And it's actually something when people aren't losing weight, I think a bigger contributor is going back to that postpartum plan where they haven't have a solid plan on like how to eat post-birth. Right. And so they end up eating takeout and junk food because it's easy and fast and they don't have to cook it. I had three children under the age of five at one point.
Wow.
And shortly, within 2 weeks after giving birth of my third child. Like, everyone's back at work. If you're a third-time mom, people are like, she's got it. She's fine.
Right.
And I have this very, visual memory of being at the Whole Foods with my infant strapped to my chest and my two-year-old in one hand and my five-year-old in the other. And there was this, the woman behind the counter was Asian. And she looked at me and she goes, in my country, like, people do not leave the house for 40 days after giving birth. And that's a true thing. It's called the golden month, where people, a new mother is only expected to rest and feed her baby for 40 days, nothing else. And I said, well, in this country, nobody gives a shit that I just had a baby and I'm starving. So we would like one of each prepared meal in your case today because I was exhausted, right? And I was just like, I need help. And that was the easiest way for me to get help, but also try and like eat healthy.
Well, and there's obviously the physical, what we can see. I mean, you're smiling, I'm happy, I got three kids, but can get a little crazy upstairs. And I think that's the part that I'm talking about, because sometimes, I mean, I remember my wife's like, I think I'm starting to feel better. Like all of a sudden, you know, like it wasn't really a thing, but it's like you just sort of come out of this thing and you're like, wow, I think I really has been sort of down, like depressed and not realizing it. And all of a sudden it happens. I mean, I don't want to compare myself, but I know like coming out of winter, right? Like, and you mentioned that I run, I'll go for runs. And then one day I just run and I'm like, gosh, I just feel better. Like all of a sudden I just didn't realize how I was maybe down or carrying a lot of stuff on my shoulders. Right. And maybe not sharing it. Right.
Sure.
And so, sometimes people don't even realize it. You know, they'll just be like, wow, all of a sudden I just feel better. Some people struggle a little bit prior to that happening, and I just didn't know. And when I mentioned the weight, it's not that it's a bad thing, but it is a reality. And for some people, it is.
Good catch.
Knocked my mic over.
Good catch.
For some people, it might be a concern. You know, it's like it shouldn't be, but it could be a thing where after all said and done, the baby's out, everyone's back to work, and we're at home, and it might be something that they worry about. And I think the message is, eat correctly, right? Take care of yourself. Do what you were doing. Continue. If you were a walker, continue walking. If you were running, do what you were.
And be gentle with yourself.
Sure.
And don't expect your body to be the same.
Right.
There's just such this image in our culture of people snapping back, right? Or getting your body back is like a really popular term. And it's like, there's no back. Like, you have given birth. Like, your body is different. That doesn't mean you can't be toned. It doesn't mean you can't be healthy. That doesn't mean you can't be influence whatever weight you're comfortable with.
Sure.
And it is a concern. You're like, you're not wrong. It's a concern for people. But, like, you be gentle with yourself. Like, you didn't gain that weight in 6 weeks. Like, it was a process of 9 months. And it's important to gain weight during your pregnancy to nourish your baby and to, you know, function. And so I don't like the idea of it being, you know, women worrying so much about that.
Yeah.
It's important that you feel good in your body. That's what I like to talk about with people. So like, how can we do things in your life, set your life up so you feel good in your body?
Yeah.
But, you know, just go easy on yourself.
What's the recovery compared to just a regular vaginal birth compared to like a cesarean? Like if someone, you know, they may have a plan like, oh, we'll just have this baby and we'll just, and then maybe there's a change at the hospital. Maybe there is a decision to have the cesarean and now it's different, right?
Well, 100%. You've had major abdominal surgery. And so your physical abilities are a lot more restricted after giving birth, and it's painful.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's hard enough, it's challenging enough to give birth vaginally and be a new parent. Like it's still the sleeping, it's still the breastfeeding, it's still the changes that are happening to your body. But that adds an extra element to it. I think it's harder.
Yeah.
You know, some people will be under the impression that to schedule a cesarean birth and not attempt labor at all will sort of like save you. Like, oh, I just don't want to go through all that process. But you're paying for it on the back end.
Yeah.
with your body.
Well, and they're cutting you right across your abs, right? Mm-hmm. Right across your muscles. And that is a, you know, that just doesn't heal as fast. And it might not recover as fast. So, you know, that may be something to be a little bit prepared for. Surround yourself with great people that know a lot of great stuff like yourself. And you know, and if you're worried or stressed out, reach out and have a conversation and learn.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I think it's important if you're the partner or the family member or the friend of somebody who's just had a baby.
Yeah.
Like, check in on them.
Absolutely.
See what you can do for them. Or, you know, when you're there, don't just like visit the baby. Make an offer. Can you want me to hold the baby so you can take a shower or take a nap? Or like, you know, I want to hold the baby for a little bit, but I also like, I brought you some dinner, like bring something healthy with you to share.
And sometimes, you know, what's funny is it's not that like if you said, hey, let me watch the baby for an hour, go do something. It's not like a lot of the times the person doesn't want to go do something, but it's just nice that someone offers, right? It's like,
sure.
Wow, that is, I appreciate that. Come over and we can just chat. I'll stay with the baby. But it's the offer.
Yeah. And there are a lot of parents that just feel the most comfortable wearing their baby or holding their baby, and that's fine. So help in another way.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, this was fun.
This was great.
I only
Thank
made you
so
make
much.
Two crazy faces. That's not too bad.
Oh, well, you don't know me well. That is great, actually, because I make all kinds of crazy faces.
Well, you are Katie Hope, and it is Delaware Doula. And say your website again, just so.
Sure. DelawareDoula.net.
DelawareDoula.net. Instagram.
Absolutely. Delaware Doula. You can, and Facebook.
Okay. And we'll put all that in the description. And listen, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
I think we're going to see more doulas, right? This is...
Absolutely. It is only increasing.
Yeah. Well, my whole story about the doctor then the midwife, I thought we were headed towards maybe seeing more doulas.
Well,
and
you are.
We could do the doctor and the midwife backwards.
We could do a whole nother episode, which is like that goes back to that part where I said like there's evidence that doulas lower, you know, all kinds of... need for medical interventions. They're absolutely, you know, Medicaid is state by state. And so they're starting to get covered in many states, and more insurance plans are starting to cover doula services.
Nice. Well, listen, I appreciate it. Get a bunch more experience, come back, and we'll talk more about doula.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.